This is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, black Republicans may be a Democrat's worst nightmare, and are African-American colleges organizing racist classes? We'll talk about these topics and more. Joining me here on our New York Bureau, Robert George. He's an editorial writer for the New York Post, and Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. And from our headquarters in Washington, D.C., economist and author Julianne Malveaux is with us today. She's also president and CEO of Last Word Productions. All right, folks, we just heard from Kenneth Blackwell, and as we noted during that interview, we have a number of African-Americans running for statewide office, including Lynn Swann in Pennsylvania, Michael Steele and Kwesi Mfume in the state of Maryland. Robert George, let's talk about the idea of whether or not Republicans, black Republicans, can be, maybe, a Democrat's worst nightmare, in the sense that here is a candidate who is palatable to a great degree to the African-American community heretofore, where Republican in those states often would not be.
That's exactly right, Ed. In particular, with these the candidates you just mentioned, you have individuals that they cannot be portrayed as Democrats have tried to portray black Republicans before, as Uncle Toms that are somehow out of step with the black community. Steele, Blackwell, both of them have had long-standing social and business roots within the black community, and that allows them to take what is still a Republican message into a community and get votes, and saying, you know, I'm part of you. Though I may, you know, we may have certain disagreements here, but I have a particular vision, and it's something that you should you should listen to.
While that's true, Julianne Malveaux, there is still this yin and yang, if you will. You heard it with Kenneth Blackwell. The idea of where he stands on abortion does not necessarily reflect the majority of African American community, the African American community of polls are to be believed. Yet there is this sense of a liking his religious affiliations. There are the questions of ownership and entrepreneurism that he pushes, but the belief in the free market system, which hasn't always been fair to African Americans.
You know, that was a great interview, Ed, by the way. You got Blackwell Smooth, and if you dissect that interview, however, you find so many implicit contradictions in all of what he said. I'd love to have you with his opponent going back and forth. I mean, this tax reform that he promises, you notice he said conspicatory tax reform. This is something like California's Prop, I believe it was 109 back in the day, that basically restricted the amount of taxes that jurisdictions could impose, which means that all kinds of services, which, as you know, poorer people, which happen to be African American, in Cleveland, a third of the population is poor. Poorer people depend on some of these services. So he very slickly throws in there these conspicatory taxes. What he means is he's going to take your Medicare. The abortion thing, again, very, very slick. You know, Margaret Sanger was a racist. Well, you know what? Yes, she was. But Planned Parenthood and the pro-choice movement has evolved a long way since the days of Margaret Sanger. So that's just like, I wrote a piece 6 or 7 years ago that he probably used where I called her all kind of racist because she was. But Du Bois, W.E.B. Du Bois, eventually joined with Sanger in 1934 to talk about the fact that women had a right to basically control their fertility. Where I think that both a Blackwell and certainly a Steele get their foot in the door is that when they talk about entrepreneurship, African American people are very, very interested in economic development and entrepreneurship, and you basically haven't seen a lot coming from the Dems on some of those areas. And so that is a wedge. And as you look at Gen X, as you look at, as you know, at in Prince George's County, young black men, you know, you see brothers who are saying, yeah, I want to go with that. But let's be clear here, when you dissect this message, this is a flawed message. And when he talks about black folks, 17% of them voting for Bush, you want to know how many votes he suppressed to get that number up to 17%.
Here's what's interesting, Michael Myers, in all of this. When you take a look at the backing from the Republican Party for the men that we mentioned, the aforementioned men running for these seats, the person who is complaining about not getting the kind of backing he wants from his party is the Democrat, Kwesi Mfume.
Yeah, so what? I mean, Kwesi Mfume is a candidate in his own of his own choice and own making, and I don't think because
okay, but you can't. I don't think just because be so cavalier let, about the so what, and you understand
no,
the question,
I'm
Michael
not
Myers.
Being cavalier.
The idea of whether or not people are of the belief of we're seeing a difference in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party.
May I make my point?
You should make a good point, though. But go ahead,
Michael. My point is that, you know, Kwesi Mfume thinks well of himself, and the question is whether or not the voters think well of Kwesi Mfume. And it really doesn't matter if he's black or white. Just
right,
like
that
it
has
doesn't
nothing to do
matter
with my question, which was the backing of the political party. One would believe, if you look at the history,
there
that
is,
a Democrat would be behind.
Look, he's in a primary. There is no backing of the political
but
party.
But you know what?
You don't believe that, though. You don't believe that.
No,
wait
a second. Let me make my point.
Whoa.
Let me make my point. I think that the Democrats are their own worst enemy. I think that Julianne probably has it mostly right with respect to what Ken Blackwell said. I must tell you, I was sitting here astonished with the cold words and the platitudes this guy was using. I mean, you know, to equate abortion with genocide, this is just idiocy. To say that intentional killing of babies as opposed to fetuses, this is a cold word. So he's running on cold words. So I'm not impressed with him. Good thing I'm not an Ohio resident.
Surprising enough, Julianne and Michael are both wrong. First of all, in Maryland, Kwesi Mfume was a six-term congressman down there. He was the head of the Congressional Black Caucus when he was in Congress,
and he headed up the NAACP. And left in scandal.
The point I'm trying to make here, he is nearly tied with Cardin in the polls, but the fact is,
Cardin has outraised him five to one. Cardin has outraised him. Robert, you didn't hear his point, because if you did, you wouldn't say I was wrong.
No.
I'm sorry, Julianne, I'm not wrong.
Julianne, you are correct. You are correct on Mfume. Where you are wrong, though, however, is on Blackwell. But as far as abortion, why is it so wrong to talk about the historical roots of the abortion movement in genocide and killing black people?
Margaret Sanger did that in 1920. I mean, how long has it been since 1920?
There is less support for the pro-choice position in the black community than in the white community, and that's a fact.
That may well be a fact, but the fact is that African-American people still do support choice. And the fact is that these folks who talk about pro-life, they're pro-life till the baby gets
here. All right, let me stop. Robert. Hang on just a second, because my director here is trying to give me some numbers so we can at least inform the public specifically of the numbers in Maryland. Go ahead and give those to me. I couldn't hear her beyond the screaming today. Go ahead. What are the numbers so I can give them? Mfume is now in leading still 42% to 38% in the latest polls. All right,
but where is he against Cardin? Do we know?
They'll continue to look that up as we move on to our next subject because this is getting far too dangerous. All right, Julianne, just stay with me here, if you will. We're going to take a look at the president who spoke out yesterday for the first time about this alleged massacre that has been talked about in the headlines over the course of the last few days, and that is the Iraqi situation that is causing real problems for this administration. Let's take a listen.
I am troubled by the initial news stories. I am mindful that there is a thorough investigation going on. If, in fact, the laws were broken, there will be punishment.
All right, that's the president saying there will be punishment. We should note that now what has happened is the military, the Marines, are being given a 30-day ethics class in how to conduct yourself on the ground, Michael Myers. This is seemingly becoming a growing problem for this administration.
This reminds me of the senior law partner who said to his law soldiers, how many of you took ethics in law school? And nobody raised their hand. He said, I can tell you all you need to know about ethics in just this message. That is, if it's a choice between you going to jail and your client going to jail, make sure it's your client. This is a change of the subject. This is an allegation of a rampage against civilians, including women and children. And that means if the allegations are true, there have been crimes committed. And there probably has been a cover-up. The issue here is prosecution, prosecution, prosecution of those who committed, if that's true, those who committed the rampage, who killed innocent people, and the people who covered it up. And I'm talking from top to bottom. And anything other than that is a change of the subject.
Julia Melvo, are you bothered by the idea that what we're hearing now is from this administration, a want to reconfirm the idea of what these military troops should be doing on the ground? One would think if these allegations are true, you don't need to understand the lifestyle of those there not to shoot someone in the head.
You know, if we're going to have ethics, let's start at the White House. Let's go to Rumsfeld. Let's go to Cheney. There's where the ethics need to come from. And this is, you know, Michael is so right about the issue of prosecution. There has to be prosecution here. And at the same time, I think we have to look at the way we're dealing with our soldiers. If you read any of the sympathetic media, it makes no excuse, and there should be no excuse. But let's talk about people who don't have helmets. Let's talk about people who don't have body armor. Let's talk about people who have had their tour of duty extended two or three times without, you know, their acquiescence. Let's talk about people whose wives or children are on public assistance because they don't make enough money. And then when you do that, you combine that, the stress certainly, while not excusable under any circumstances, is understandable. We have treated our troops horribly. I am absolutely opposed to this war, but even more than that, I am opposed to the way that we've callously treated these troops. And so if we want to do ethics, let Mr. Bush sign up for the
first
class.
But Robert George, doesn't this say something that General George Casey has been dispatched so quickly to give core value, quote, training to these troops immediately? Doesn't this say something implicitly?
It says that it's bull, frankly. I mean, I agree with Michael, and I actually partly agree with Julianne here. The fact is, this happened back in November, and they're sending out the military version of a sensitivity expert now. I mean, I don't necessarily believe take a look until the whole investigation unfolds. I'm not going to say that there's a cover up going on and so forth. However, I do find it a little bit disturbing, and unfortunately, this is something that we've seen, and a number of other conservatives have also pointed this out as well. This is yet another one of these kind of situations where the people surrounding the president felt that he didn't need to know about it until 4 months afterwards. I mean, he just heard about this just a few weeks ago. The fact is, he is the commander in chief, and yet you don't obviously bother him with little minutiae. But if there is an alleged massacre of civilians that are going on, he needs to know about that when it's happening and what steps are being taken, and all the little sensitivity training or ethics counseling is not going to do anything unless there is an assessment of what's going on from the top down.
Michael?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. There has to be accountability, and ethics is just a subject matter that you ought to know about. I think that the military ought to know what is right and what is wrong. They knew that before they got into the military.
Well,
you don't go around taking the lives of innocent people. You just don't do it. You don't seek revenge. You don't impose revenge. This is unlawful. This is improper. It's unethical. It's immoral.
But you cannot run around.
I mean, this whole notion of having these kumbaya classes on the ground in Iraq is almost laughable.
Exactly.
I mean, you have people who have graduated from the military academies. You have people who are 4 and 5 star generals over there. Why do they need, sit down, feel good, let's think about ethics? I would assume that our military has been trained in this. And I would assume that if this has happened, and there is cover-up, there's also this thing called breaking point. We have to look at the way these troops are being treated and the dollars that we're cutting out of this. But if we're going to do it, we have to do it. We're over there now. We've got 135,000 people there. We've lost 2,500 lives. I mean, we are being totally myopic. This man has no exit plan.
He shows up
and says, well, gee, I'm sorry. Maybe I made a few mistakes in my tone. No, man, you made a mistake when you went over there.
This cannot be like Abu Ghraib where...
But hang on, Robert, just a second. I'll let you get to that point. But let me speak to Julianne's point. Before, though, the president was chastised for not being able to say, I made a mistake in certain areas. And now he's saying it. And you want what from him?
blood. I'm just kidding. But maybe not. Actually, Ed, you know, the point is that the mistakes made
was
such
a
tepid, you know, I was mistaken in my tone. I shouldn't have said, you know, these extreme things. Well, no, I would accept the notion that we've made a mistake getting over there. Now let's figure out how we can be whole and get out of there. He's not going to say that. So he's just going to talk about his tone. That's superficial.
Well, but
just
he can't like afford to say that, Kenny Robert George. I don't think any president would say,
look, I
made a mistake. We're going to get out of there.
LBJ should have said that.
Well, but he didn't.
Look what happened to him.
No, the fact is, and I have
got another term to go though.
And as
yeah, he stood down.
As a conservative,
this one doesn't have anything to lose.
And as a conservative, I've been very, very critical of this administration. But once you're over there, you cannot just immediately like turn around and just boogie out of there because oops, looks like we made a mistake. I think obviously you can make a number of points and say that it was a mistake going over there. And now you have to figure out what is the best way of assessing the situation, giving enough control over the Iraqis, and then pulling it out.
He doesn't believe
that mistake. But
he's not going
to do that. But I did want to say the other point, the scandal of this Haditha alleged massacre, this cannot be just like Abu Ghraib, where all the responsibility falls on the guy on the guys down there. If there's a chain of command situation, some officers are going to have to
concern. The idea that, as Michael said, this did not happen yesterday, and if in fact we are to believe that these events occurred, there was clearly a squelching of the story reports, and as Julianne talked about, moving it up the chain, if you will.
Clearly. And you know, it smells like a cover-up. It smells like people are hiding things. And you need a special prosecutor here.
Absolutely.
You need somebody to go in there and clean house top and bottom. You need accountability. I hate to be so hard-hearted, Julianne, but I'm going to be consistent.
Well, you're always hard-hearted, Michael, but this time I got your back.
But this will be news, but to call for a special prosecutor before the investigation is finished.
No, I want a special prosecutor now.
The issue, Ed, is to raise the question, Cheney know and when?
When did
Rumsfeld know and when?
What took so long for this to come out?
This is November. You're talking really 6 months. This is absurd. I mean, the people who, you know, most of the people who are in our military are honorable people. They are all being tarnished by things like this and by Abu Ghraib. It is incumbent on us to cover them by saying the people who did this were the exception and not the rule.
Amen.
All right, guys. You know, we only got to two subjects today, and I hope the listeners are as tired as I am because this was a battle. Robert, Michael, Julianne, thank you so much.
Send around.
Greatly appreciate it.